We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Last week, we started a series called King Me. The series King Me is based off of checkers. Anybody play checkers out there? My kids and I, we've started playing a lot more board games. And, you know, one of the things that my oldest Riley loves is checkers. And so as we started playing checkers, if anyone's familiar with the game checkers, you understand the chance of winning, the chance of being successful, literally, it ends up increasing by leaps and bounds, the percentage of you winning, if you can have pieces that are kinged, correct? So when it comes to this game, if you understand that it's about positioning yourself so that you can unlock new power, say new power. If you look, it's about taking the position, understanding the right directions in which you can go to advance yourself or your player to the right position in which you can say, King me. And what must happen? In that moment, you get a double portion. In that moment, you become blessed beyond your other pieces in some ways, right? Your other peers in some ways, right? But what happens when you become doubled, when you become the king? It allows you now to move in ways you've never moved before. It unlocks the power and potential for you to start shifting and moving. You can move among, you can go forward, you can go backwards. As long as, you know, I love it because God, when I read in the scripture, he says, wherever you go, I'll go with you. He said that to so many people. Why? Because they were blessable. Because they had positioned themselves for God's blessing. And he basically took the position, because you've done this, where you go, I will go with you. And so when we position ourselves for God's blessing, for his favor, when we end up getting the double portions, when we live under the open flow of heaven, are you hearing me? It allows us, it unlocks the ability and capabilities to live and move in new ways. The things that used to scare you, they have no power over you. They can't jump you. They can't hurt you anymore. Are you following me? So when I talk about King me, it's not about gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. It's not take, 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 my name's Jake. It's not about that. What is it? It's about living a blessed life in which God says, because you did this, my promise was this, and so you will have. If God gives promises, why would you not want to receive them? If they're for everybody, if they're for you and your children and your children's children, if they're available, why would you not want them? And so it's about understanding you have the ability to position yourself for God's blessing. You say, Chad, is it that easy? Well, I didn't say it was easy. Why? Because there's battles that happen in your minds. You've got to make decisions and stick with the right decision, even when pressure tells you otherwise. Come on. It's something, you know, when we're doing this series, King Me, it's about wisdom, it's about position, and then it's about wealth or abundance, the abundant life God has for us. We have the ability through wisdom of God's word, positioning with God's word, and then living a life that God's promised through his word. Are you following me? So today, I want to talk to you about the power of your position. The power of your position. Last week we talked about wisdom and what happened in David's life between the anointing moment from Samuel, when Samuel said, you'll be the next king, all the way through until Saul was trying to kill him, the sitting king, until he came to the moment where he said, you're right, God's going to king you. I now understand you will be the next, right? So we covered all of that and talked about all of the wise decisions from David and how even when he got it wrong, he didn't wallow in his woes. He allowed his wise to wake him up beyond his woes. I just want to know if you didn't get it, you got to get it. We got to get it in us. If we want to be able to live with the right life, so much of it is what happens between here. Okay? So I want to talk to you today about the power of your position. It is the right position of both heart and action that bring God's blessing. It's not like we're living with some sort of hoping, like a lottery pick, like, God, if you'll just pull out my bingo ball, if you'll just pull out my name, if you'll just somehow let me be the next guy that gets that blessing that I know you're going to shower on someone. It's not like that. God's not playing scratch tickets with us. He knows when and how he's going to bless you. He's already decided to give you good things. He sees you as his children, his creation. He wants you to live a blessed life. He wants you to thrive, not just survive. Amen, Chad. Well, that's what God's word says. You know what I'm saying? So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that we have the ability through wisdom to activate this positioning. Okay, God, I want your blessing. So what does your word say for me to do? But it's this positioning. If we fail to keep the right heart, and if we fail to continue doing the right things, we cannot expect to continue walking in favor with God. God, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. And God's like, well, you're in a forsaken place doing forsaken things. I didn't tell you to go there. I didn't tell you to do that. Hey, you woke up in jail. I didn't bring you here. You decided to hang out with Jack Daniels all night. I didn't bring you there. You decided to do that. See, we think just because like, so many people say, well, I said the sinner's prayer, now nothing can go wrong. God said that no one can take us from his hand, but it doesn't say we can't jump out. No one can pluck us from his hand, but it doesn't mean we can't make really bad decisions that put us outside of his favor, outside of his blessings. Does it mean he doesn't love us anymore? Of course he loves us. He's just waiting for the prodigal to come home. Okay. I don't know. I came to preach today. I don't know what your intentions were, but God's word is not going to return void. Open your heart. God, I pray those that are sitting in this place, those that are watching the stream, Father, that you would touch them, that you would change things in their heart. In Jesus' name. So, in other words, check this out. Your potential is God-given, but it is only achieved through your decisions and positions. No one can ever tell you that you don't have God-given potential. No one can ever tell you that you don't have purpose beyond your dreams. But the only one that can make sure that you achieve that is you through your decisions and positions. Did you get that? You go, Chad, I don't like that because that's a lot of weight on me. I don't like that, Chad. I don't like what Pastor Chad's saying right now because what he's saying is it has a lot more to do with me than me just waiting on God. Yep. That's exactly it. Because God, he gave us the ability to use wisdom. He gave us the ability to live understanding our potential and making positional changes so that we could reach all that God had for us. You ever notice that God, whenever he shares a vision or like, for instance, even with King David, where David ended up being, anointed the next king. He's this wide-eyed young boy like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be the next king. He didn't become king the next day. He had the ability for something to continue to strive and position for the sake. God said it's mine, but what am I going to do about it? Maybe you know something that God said is yours, but what are you doing about it? Now, I'm not saying you take it into your own hands. I'm saying you continue through wisdom to position yourself for that thing. So your potential is God-given, but it is only achieved through your decisions and positions. In other words, the potency of one's potential is found in their position. The potency, the potential's there, but how strong, how potent is that potential? It's going to come forth based on the right decisions, being in the right places, understanding what God's charted. And so many people, they go, Chad, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do next. One thing I know is God has a plan for your next. And so being in his presence often will help you understand your next. Walking in faith and not by sight might unlock your next. Okay. Jesus understood this while on this earth. That is exactly why he made these things his focus. Check out what it says in Luke 2:52. Look at the wise decisions and positions of Jesus. Luke 2:52? Did I just say that? Yeah, here we go. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Say wisdom. Stature. Favor with God. All the people. So check this out. This is what we know about God's teen years, between his teenage years through his coming to ministry years, right? When he came back. This is what we know Jesus focused on. How many think if this is what we know about Jesus, it might be something we want to pay attention to? We all want to be like Jesus, right? If you don't, then that's why we need to start somewhere. We got to start somewhere. There's got to be a grid. There's got to be true north for any compass. Ain't that right? And so check it out. The fact is, Jesus, it says he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and favor with all the people. If we want to be more like Jesus, we need to put more of an emphasis on the things he considered important. You ready for number one? Positioning is mental. Positioning is mental. And, you know, it might seem a little mental to those that don't know Jesus, literally. It might say, like, that guy is crazy. I can't believe he's doing what? He's giving God how many hours? He's giving God how much? He's doing what in the church? He's doing what for people? Why doesn't he just look after himself more? It looks crazy. Seems a little mental. But what's happening up here is unlocking new levels. You hear me? People don't understand when you're living on a whole nother level. They just don't understand it. And so it seems crazy. But it might be mental to them, but it is a real mental battle here for all of us. How many know it's a mental battle for you to get out of bed this morning? Praise Jesus, my bed is comfortable. It's comfortable. This morning I woke up and I was like, God, come on, just one morning. Just let me sleep. Just one morning. Give me rest. Let me nap. Like Jesus did in the boat. Come on, we got to position ourselves with purpose, right? But anyway, the point is, Jesus made an important decision to make wisdom an important thing. What is wisdom? We talked a lot about it last week. It's not the storing of knowledge. It's activating obedience in Christ. Why? Because Jesus is Word, right? The Word became flesh. So when we do what Jesus did, we literally are being the Word, more and more like the Word, which is acting in wisdom. Did you follow that line of thought? Good, because I don't want to have to try and say it again. So he grew in wisdom. Jesus chose to position his life by what he gave his mind to, and we should too. Success is both won and lost on the battlefield of the mind. There's been so many books written on this, and the fact of the matter is, we know that when we succeed, it's because we followed out something that we had been able to win up here, and then we walked it out. Right? Somebody's an entrepreneur, and they've been breaking their neck trying to make something work. They've been thinking about how a business could work, and they've been conceiving all these thoughts, and they've finally worked it out up here, and then they start to walk it out here, and then they become successful, correct? So there's a battlefield of your mind. The Bible even talks about how we need to take captive every thought. Why? Because your mind's a battlefield, right? Okay, so the fact is, we have to make a decision to make wisdom important. We've got to put more of God's word in us if we're ever going to see it come out of us. You can't be something that you're not. You will only ever reproduce who and what you are. You're saying, God, I want my potential to be absolutely God-drenched. And he's like, your devotions are bone dry. You can only reproduce what you are. So we need to hear that. So Jesus chose to position his life. It takes discipline to keep your mind focused on things that will create healthy growth. But if you do, it will position you for favor. If you're willing to do what others won't do, if you're willing to take a little bit more time to plot your course, if you're willing to allow God's word to actually help guide you in the directions that you're going, if you begin to shift and move, you'll look and go, God, I have no way to go where you want me to go. But if it doesn't matter what it looks like. If God is for you, he can make a way. God, there's no way. I can't go to my left. I can't go to my right. And God's like, I'll just open up the sea. And if you're just willing to continue to trust him, you'll get to a place where God goes, man, you are obedient. He'll king you. You say, I don't know how. Well, God can make a way. The question is whether you'll believe him to make a way or whether you'll jump ship before your miracle. I'm pulling all sorts of reference out of messages others need to go back in here. That was another one. So Jesus chose to position his life. And let's talk about what the Bible talks about in wisdom, because we've already talked about how Jesus was the Word. He was Word wrapped in flesh. He literally came to earth. And if he's the Word and God's Word is wisdom, that when we position ourselves in God's presence and when we cry out to God and when we're doing all that Jesus has asked us to do, we're literally doing what wisdom is. We're literally, when we're in God's presence, we're in the presence of wisdom itself, himself. Okay, so look what it talks about, though, as far as how valuable wisdom is. Because remember, we're still talking about positioning, but you will never position yourself right if you're not wise enough to make a good decision. So look what it says in Proverbs 8, 10, 11 again. I brought this up last week. Choose my instruction rather than silver and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable. Say far more. It's far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. No dream you have. No aspiration you have, no desire you have, nothing can compare with wisdom. And if you ever want to receive that dream you have, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Right? That's what God's word says. And so what are we saying? We've got to seek God's wisdom before we make a move. We've got to work out what's going on up here before we start to walk out the life God's called us to. And so wisdom is more valuable than all other things. So what does that mean? Get away from gossip and idle talk. Get away from things that will pull your mind to the gutter. You say, Chad, I don't like living in the gutter, but you like living with all the people that make gutter decisions. Well, see, that's not me. That's them and their decisions. But you have the decision no longer to make those decisions. You have the decision to try and be the anchor that holds tight and helps them not make the decisions they shouldn't make. I'm not telling you to turn around and walk away from your friends, but what I am saying is be a real friend and help them out of the gutter. Because it's not good for either of you. So, one of the things when I think about being able to win the battle of the mind, there's an interesting thought here, is oftentimes the best motivator to get in the right position is considering what you could gain. Consider what you could gain. This is a powerful thought because God always shows us his promises. His promises are out there wide out in the open. Why? So that we'll know what we could gain. It's an interesting thought though because we even see it in the natural. You want to talk about how powerful the thought of gaining is? You think about it. Summertime is upon us now. You walk into the gym and you see how many single fellas are in the gym now that summertime's upon us. They consider what they could gain. And so they start doing things that maybe they don't really want to do. Consider what could be gained. So Jesus grew in wisdom, so it would be wise of us to position ourselves for the same. Number two, not only is it mental, positioning is physical. Now, in that scripture in Luke, it tells us that he grew in wisdom and in stature. Okay, so stature is a physical thing. And we understand he literally grew up, right? He literally grew up from a teen to a man, right? But I want to talk to you a moment about how faith is a physical thing. It is a physical thing. Faith, we're not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So what does that mean? We've got to take what's going on in the mental and turn it into a physical action. And there should be fruit. Isn't that right? Someone goes, well, I'm a Christian. And I go, well, that's awesome. You've met Jesus. How are you doing on your journey? Well, God's got a lot of grace for me. Okay, well, we also can grow up. We also should produce more fruits. How many know I don't ask my 5-year-old to mow the lawn? But at some point, I'm going to ask a 15-year-old to mow the lawn for me. Hey, equal here. Boys or girls, those girls are going to mow the lawn. I'm telling you, she's going to be a princess that can handle her own. So the fact is, faith should show fruit. And the longer you have faith, and the longer you walk in faith, and the more you grow, you should show more fruit. You should be more productive. Okay. It's a physical thing. When we win the battlefield in the mind, it should change into a physical action, a boldness. Yes, we grow physically as the scripture is speaking of, but I want to take that moment to tell you it's a physical nature of faith that I'm trying to talk about. As a Christian, we should be physically positioning ourselves in the right places to see God move in our world and on our behalf. See, so many people, when I talk about this, they assume I'm just talking like material blessings. I'm talking about things that literally, once it's done and over, you realize he saved you from stuff. He moved on my behalf before I even knew it. Last week, I was talking about one of the core leaders in this church that applied for a position that was way over what they were expecting to even be able to get. And not only did they got hired without an interview and were less qualified than everyone else that had applied that had been applying for years. I can't make this stuff up. What is that? Favor? Faithful fruit and blessings of which somebody continuing to make wise decision and positioning themselves was just blessable. We want God's blessing, but do we live a way in which we're blessable? Think of it that way. So there's a literal get up and do something about it moment if you want to be kinged. You can desire to be in the right position. You can win the battle in your minds. But until you literally put feet on that thought, on that faith, on that desire, it is still just a fleeting dream. It's still just something out there. No, if you start putting feet on your faith, if you start actually making it a physical thing, when you actually tell yourself, I'm going to do this, and you actually do it, that's a good thing. It positions you. You're making decisions. And, you know, this is exactly what people are going to do today. They've won the battle of their mind. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they're saying, I'm going public with my faith today. I'm turning something mental into something physical. There's going to be an action and there's going to be fruit of my faith that is seen today. They're going to climb into this tank and they're going to get baptized. And you're going to think, wow, that seemed really, really simple. Wow, that seemed really, really short. Wow, that seemed really, really easy. It is not easy to make a public declaration of faith. And even though time-wise it may seem short, there's a supernatural thing that is happening here. This isn't just symbolic. God moves when we move. He's blessed us when we're obedient. It's exciting. That's why I love Baptism Sunday. So there needs to be a physical repositioning in our lives when we say yes to God. I won't physically do that anymore because I said yes to God. I won't be there physically anymore because I said yes to God. We win the battles here and then it shows in our life. Do you remember when John the Baptist was baptizing people and then there are certain somebodies that came down and wanted to be baptized too? What did he say? Go and show some fruit. What was he saying to the Pharisees? He was saying, I think you're just doing the ceremonial so that you'll be accepted by everybody. But actually, when this becomes physical, it's right. Just a thought. You got that. The first service didn't. So, number three, positioning is tied to things unseen. Positioning is tied to things unseen. Back at Luke 2:52, Jesus grew not only in wisdom and stature, but Jesus grew in favor with God. How many know being, growing in favor with God oftentimes is more about what's unseen than seen? If you're going to grow in favor with God, it's because you're doing things in which God says, yep. You're doing things when no one else is looking that actually are aligning with God. You know, who you are when no one's looking. I read this book. It was actually a prerequisite book written by, I believe it was Bill Hybels. But this book we read when I was in Bible college. And the book was called Who You Are When No One's Looking. And the concept is that's who you really are. And that's why the battlefield of your mind is so important. That's why you have to take captive those thoughts. That's why you have to throw those things away. That's why you have to renew your mind and be transformed because of it. Amen? But that's where growing in favor starts. It starts in your quiet time. It starts pouring out your heart to God when no one's looking. You know, you can come in here and raise your hands and sing and worship as loud as you want. But if those bones are dry, they're dry. Come on, we want God's presence. We don't want a religious experience. I promise you, you continue to grow at Metro Church, this isn't going to be a religious experience. This is going to be positioning yourself in a relationship with God that He actually comes and blesses you and He becomes part of your life. And you're not doing it just out of merit. You're doing it because you love Him and He loves you and you have a revelation of it. It's totally different. So good. But positioning is tied to the things unseen. How do you grow in favor with God? Growing in favor with God happens in the unseen places. So how do you see favor? You don't see favor until you have it. We don't actually see it. We only see the fruit of favor, don't we? We know it exists because we see its effect on us and around the world. We see its effect on us, and guess what? The world around us. You know what? Just like wind, you know, we know wind exists, right? But we can't see the wind. We see the effects of the wind to prove that wind exists. It's because of the leaves blowing. It's because of the can rolling down the street. It's because of the trees shaking. We know that wind exists. It's the same way with favor on your life. You know it exists. You can't see it, but you see all of its fruit. All of a sudden, you know, you look at somebody and everything they touch turns to gold. You look at somebody and their life isn't going well, but they seem to have a smile and seem to have peace in their life. You look at somebody and you're like, I don't understand it. Well, you're seeing all the effects of faith, of favor. Favor exists. And when we get it right in the things unseen, it becomes more and more visible in the things seen. And so when you're choosing to make those decisions, when you're choosing to shift and move, and you're, God, I don't know where to go, and God's moving things for you, and you continue to move, and you continue to shift and position and shift and position. It's just like, you know how the wind continues to, you can watch wind and go, oh yeah, it's a little breezy. And all of a sudden it starts to get bigger and bigger. And now you're like, is that limb going to blow off? Like, you can tell the effects are getting greater and greater. You can see it. Well, as you continue to position yourself in the right place, the effects of God's favor get greater and greater. And people are just going, wow, look at what's going on in their life. How is this happening? I want to know. And then people that weren't interested in Jesus at all are interested in what's going on because of what's going on in your life. What is it about this? Why is it working for you? I have strived time and time again. Why does it work for you? And you're just like, the more I do for God, the less I do. I give it back to Him. It seems less and less effort. I'm not saying it's no effort, but it seems easier. It's like that finely tuned engine that's got the proper amount of oil. There's no grinding. It's like finding that extra gear. It's just things work and it's flowing and everything, you know, is pumping on all cylinders. You're flowing and God is blessing and life is shifting and moving. And you know what? The minute you step outside of His favor, you're going to start to feel resistance. You're going to start to feel the flow start to slow. Why? The spigot's wide open. You're just no longer standing under it. You've made decisions to jump the wrong direction. And now you're like, God, you're with me, right? And God was like, well, you're supposed to be with me. Because I'm with you everywhere you go, as long as you go where I'm telling you to go. Okay. What happens in the unseen is tied to the battle of your mind. You need to win the mental before you can have the ability to physically position yourself in the right places. And so it's interesting, though, because I heard an international speaker, author, leadership guru make a statement that was actually incredibly honest and sobering that spoke about how they continued to win the mind game so they could keep the physical positioning right. Are you ready for this? This is what the person said. He said, although I want to stay positioned for success, for all the healthy reasons, I do believe the main reason I will stay successful is because I fear what I will lose. I will never find myself flirting with my success because if I fell morally, which is a physical position, I would lose everything, which is his mental position, understanding that. I would lose my wife, my book deals. No one would invite me to come and speak. I would literally lose everything. What he's doing is he's taking that concept of, I don't ever want to move from out from underneath the spigot that's wide open over my life. I understand how important positioning is, and I don't want to move. If God says move, I'll move. If God doesn't say move, I don't care who moves, I'm not going anywhere. I don't care how much pressure comes, I'm not going anywhere. I don't care what it costs me. I'm not going anywhere. God says move, I move. God doesn't say move, I stay. Why? Not because, well, I'm just a puppet. No, because I understand blessing and favor. I'm just wise. Okay. Sometimes the best motivator to stay in the right position is considering what you could lose. So you can consider what you could gain to get you there. And then when you're there, one of the best motivators is to consider what you could lose. In contrast, last week we talked about how King Saul would lose his position as king because he stopped following God's directing. So what happened? He had positioned himself in the right place. He had God's favor over his life. He then decided to do things, that no longer made him favorable. He decided to do things against God's word, thinking, well, I'm the king and it'll be fine. Remember, you can either have a big head or big purpose, but you can't keep both. And so what do we see? We saw the kingdom torn away from Saul. And so Saul could have had so many more years as king if he had kept his hands clean and his heart pure, if he had stayed in favorable position with God. Are you following me? Okay, lastly, number four, positioning is tied to how you are seen. You go, what? I'm gonna follow me with this. Positioning is tied to how you are seen. Look at this. Luke 2:52 tells us Jesus grew not only in wisdom, not only in stature, not only in favor with God, but also favor with all people. Why is that important for us to know? Because how many of the Bible doesn't tell us something that we don't need to know? You say, well, I have read a lot of begottens to begotten to begotten, Pastor Chad. No, actually, if you want to go back and find out that actually the word did happen the way it was important for the lineage to be there because that's validated and verified. Okay, so God doesn't put something in the word unless it's important. So Jesus grew in favor and stature, wisdom and stature, and favor with God and favor with man. So why is that so important? Why is it that Jesus chose to have a likable personality? That's a big thing. He chose to be likable. He chose to be likable. Chose. You can choose to be likable. Somebody's going to need to hear that again. You can choose. Like, that's just not my personality. Well, Jesus didn't make jerks. God didn't create it that way. God didn't create you to be that, okay? I know you live in Massachusetts. His presence can be just as strong here. Jesus, change him. All right, are we back together? So, Jada, Jesus was well received among the people. He was a caring person with a good rapport. He chose to have a likable personality. And we know this because the Bible tells us when he came into towns, kids flocked, they ran to him. Peter was up here just recently doing the MC. And what Petey, he's come over to my house a number of times, and like I had him over one time for a New Year's Eve party, and there was a couple, like a groups of families and a whole bunch of kids on the ground, and we're all eating Chinese food because that's what you do in America on New Year's Eve, I guess. But the point is, I'm like, where'd Pete go? And Peter is sitting over on the floor, completely surrounded by all the children. He got a new nickname that he became the Kid Whisperer that day. All the kids were captivated by his storytelling. They loved spending time with Peter. And I just thought, man, it's impressive when somebody can be that attractive to children, yet be that amazing to all people. Peter's an amazing guy, and he's got great relationships. And I look at it and I go, but that's how Jesus was. Jesus was liked by the children and respected by the people. Why is that important? Because too many Christians think, well, God's the only one that can judge me. As long as he likes me, I don't care what anyone else thinks. Now, there are two truths here. Let me talk about the first one. Yes, God's thoughts towards you are most important, yes? However, we're called to be good neighbors. We're called to put others before ourselves. We're called to love our enemy as ourselves. So we're called to be liked. Epiphany. Light bulb. Jesus wants you not only to be favored by God, but he wants you to have the favor of the people. Why did Jesus care about that? Want to know why he cared about that? Because his purpose was attached to the positioning of having favor with the people. That was weak. His position was attached to his purpose. He had to have that moment where, because he was walking in and out of towns freely. If people hated him, I mean, the only town that didn't seem to like him was his own town. Don't ever let this be a place where the only church that doesn't like me is my own church. Oh, best yet, he gets to go travel everywhere, but we don't like him. No, listen, he was favored. They let him come and go from towns. They understood what he was doing at the time was, man, everywhere this guy goes, there's clearly God's favor. He's touching people. He's healing people. People are, you know, they were saying, I don't got answers, but I once was blind, but now I see. It's important for you to hear this. Because the favor of those around you is important to the purpose God has on your life too. Why? It's really hard to talk to people and be a witness for Christ if they don't like you. No one wants to listen to you. If people know you're a Christian, which the Bible tells us they should, correct? Then that means that when they think of you, they think of him. Sometimes people say the only Bible someone will ever read is your life. They're never going to open the Bible, but they know you believe, and what are you doing? That changes things, doesn't it? Jesus saw it very important to have favor with all people. The favor of those around you is important too. It's interesting because, just because you can quote the scripture in Psalm 75, where it says, you know, God sets one up and sets down another. God, he's the one that promotes. He brings promotion. You know, it's one thing to quote that, but can I tell you, if you're not good at your job, you're not going to get a promotion. Well, God brings promotion. I'm believing for promotion. In fact, I've been praying about promotion for a decade. I'm going to get promotion. Well, unless God strikes your boss down with blindness and he stops seeing you being tardy and your bad work ethic and a bad attitude, you're probably not ever going to get promoted. You got to be likable. And gosh darn people like me. From a movie that totally escapes me. Someone will fill me in. I have movie gurus that actually talk to me after service and go, ha ha, you quoted that movie. And I'll be like, oh, is that movie? Okay, anyway, check it out. When it comes to favor, it's about wisdom and position. We're going to finish this mini-series next week, and I'm going to talk about what it takes to keep the abundance and the wealth that God brings into your world. But the fact is, we choose. You've got to make a decision to position yourself for God's blessing and his favor. And when you get there, you're going to have to make a decision to stay there. Because what I know is that when God does begin to shower you with blessings and shower you with favor, the devil does anything he can to disrupt the flow. If he can bump you, if he can shift you, if he can bait you, he will try and get you to move. Again, it comes back to the battlefield of your mind. Having the wisdom to stay in the position. Wisdom to move to the position. Are you following me? Did you receive the word?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.